Amen. So we're here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and I want to look at verse number 8 where the Bible says, a time to love and a time to hate, time of war and a time of peace. Now, this is a pretty famous portion of Scripture if you actually study the Bible, if you actually went to church. And it's something that's actually lost, though, in our modern-day culture, in our modern-day Christianity, where people have kind of erased this part of information from their brain where they don't think there's ever a time to hate. And really, we live in a culture, we live in a society where there is a brainwashing and a propaganda message that's going out where hate is just some negative word, it's a bad word, it's always wrong, we should just eliminate hate. But notice that the Bible teaches that there is a time to hate. So if you're a Christian and you say, I don't hate anything, I never hate anything, well, then you're really just disobeying this portion of Scripture and really a lot of Scripture. But I use this verse to kind of kick off my sermon. My sermon's a little bit broader in context. The sermon title this morning is 1984 Social Media. Okay, 1984 Social Media. You say, why are you using a year? Okay. Well, there's a dystopian novel, and in fact, it's been turned into a couple movies as well, called 1984. Who's heard of this film or book in some? Okay. Who's read the book? I'm just curious. Okay, a lot of people actually even read the book. I want to say this clear. I'm not recommending reading the book or watching the movies, okay? If you do that, that's your discretion. Because there's some gross stuff and then perverted stuff in this book and in the films and stuff like that. And so I'm not necessarily recommending that. I personally have never read the book. I've only watched several clips from online, and I've read a lot about it as far as just the themes of the book. And even if you've never read the book or watched any of the films, it doesn't really matter, because the points that they have in this film, you're going to immediately recognize from the society you live in, okay? And a lot of it coming from social media specifically. That's why the title of my sermon is 1984 Social Media. Now, I also want to say this. I'm not saying that social media is inherently evil or is inherently wicked, but it is a tool, and that tool can be used for evil. And I believe that social media is causing a huge problem in our culture and in our society today, and they're employing a lot of the techniques that are described in this popular culture novel, 1984. Now, to just give you a quick rundown of the plot of this particular storyline, there's essentially, it's kind of like an apocalyptic type film where there's been some kind of world war, and this is kind of the aftermath. And it's broken into three states or countries. Basically, the whole world's divided up into like three groups. And we're following a couple characters in one specific area. I think it's called Oceania. And the main character's name is Winston. There's like a sub-character, Julia. And this Winston character finds himself in this state where they're in a perpetual war. These three states are always theoretically fighting each other. It's always this wartime type scenario. But the government is so overbearing in this particular novel and in this particular situation that there's really no ability to rebel or to do anything against the government. And they have a lot of techniques that are in place to kind of prevent any level of dissent, any level of disagreement, or any kind of sedition within that particular state. So I kind of just looked up on Wikipedia the main themes in this particular novel, and it says number one is perpetual war. So in order to maintain this kind of overbearing, just you can't disagree with us type nation state, they have to have perpetual war. Number two, they have omnipresent government surveillance. The government is constantly spying on these individuals. Number three, they have historical negationism. Historical negationism is basically the idea of ignoring the past, negating the past. That's where you get the negation aspect, negationism, and then historical is just saying, like, everything that's ever happened before has just been kind of erased. People don't really know, like, what happened in history. There is no history. There's not a history class where they're like, hey, this is what happened, they give you all the events. It basically just make it where you just exist right now and you don't know anything before you. The fourth thing, though, they do is propaganda. So that's kind of how they maintain this society. And really, if you look at America today, a lot of these techniques are being employed. Where we have, you know, the perpetual war is not necessarily so much a physical fight. We have had a lot of physical wars, though, and they've been kind of perpetual in the last few decades. But one thing that they've been doing is they have wars that are kind of these abstract wars, which are really actually more closely symbolic to what they were doing in these books in the film. But we have wars on drugs, war on terror. And really, here's the thing. When did the war on terror end? When did the war on drugs end? You know, so they declare all these wars from a government perspective, and they're just always fighting this boogeyman, this abstract, situation. And really, in the film, in the movie, even though they're at war, none of the people in the film are at war. They just hear about how they're in war, and there's just all this stuff going on, and they just, okay, there's this war going out there. And really, we have wars like that in America where there's these wars on terror, and it's like, well, who's the terrorist? We don't know, but we're warring against them, right? And we're warring against lots of different things. Here's one. How about the war on hate? And there are literal books and literal popular culture influences in America today where they're saying we need to have a war on hate. And they're trying to eliminate hate. And it's all under the guise of, well, that'll help us with our war on terror. Because it'll eliminate jihadists. It'll eliminate 9/11s. It'll eliminate all these kind of terroristic type threats. And you see these things going through the news all the time. In fact, in Idaho, just recently, I don't know if it was yesterday or 2 days ago, it's something very recent. They supposedly captured like 30 white nationalists that were going to go and cause like a big problem at a pride parade or something. They have like these 30 guys that look like federal agents. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying they look like them. They found 30 white guys all covering their face 100% in a U-Haul. And they were like crammed in a U-Haul. And I'm thinking like, man, you guys are that organized. You're so organized, but you're going to go cram in a U-Haul? And then they get caught. And then, it's like, oh, look at these white nationalists. All these white. They were all white. I mean, they were like Dylan White, okay? Super fit. And they, And again, is that legit? I don't know. It looks a little funky. Because I'm just thinking like, I'm never going to do that. I would never do this. But I'm just thinking in my planning phase, it wouldn't involve like, let's all cram ourselves into U-Haul like horses or something. Like that would probably never been my strategy because it's real easy to get caught in that kind of a scenario. And it's like stupid anyways. So I don't know what's going on with that particular scenario. What I do know is that's what they want to do. They want to catch this war on terror. They want to catch this war on hate. Oh, these hateful people. Only the white guys go into there to cause a problem. They're the hateful ones. Nobody else in America is hateful. In fact, really, I think white people are the only people that are hateful at all. I don't think black people can be hateful. I don't think Asians or Hispanic people can be hateful whatsoever. I mean, it's just white people that are hateful. If you commit a crime and you're black, it's because you're oppressed and being held down by the man. If you commit a crime, if you're Hispanic, it's because we're, repressing you at the border and we're not just letting you come into the nation or something like that. If you're Asian, it's just because of all the hatred towards China. But if you're white, it's just because you're a white supremacist and a Nazi, right? I mean, that is basically just this hate. And there's this war on hate. And there's this war on hate speech that's going on in our culture today. And why I bring up social media is because we live in a pseudo-dystopian reality. We live in an alternate reality. If you ever watched the movie The Matrix, it's kind of like The Matrix, where social media has become an ulterior reality to people. People perceive the world that they live in by online media, by YouTube, Facebook, it doesn't matter, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, just whatever apps, TikTok, there is so many apps out there. And really, people have inundated themselves with social media so much. I mean, they spend so much time on social media every single day that their worldview has now become a social media worldview. And what I mean by this is that on social media, especially recently, you are not allowed to hate. This time to hate thing that we read here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 does not exist on social media. It's not allowed, theoretically. And in fact, if someone hates, you can report them. They'll get their post taken down. They'll get restricted. They may lose their account. I mean, they just get canceled hard, shut down hard, because they don't let hate. Now, Let me make it clear. I'm not saying all hate. I'm saying the hate they don't like. Because there's plenty of hate. I mean, you could hate Donald Trump as much as you wanted. You could say the most evil, satanic things about him. I mean, if you want to hate Steadfast Baptist Church, you have a green light, okay? You could say anything and everything you want. No one will report you. No one will get mad at you. You won't lose any privileges online. But if you actually hate truthfully, the biblical hate, a righteous hatred, that is not allowed on social media. And it's getting to a point, though, where most people, they're confused about the world that we live in. Because hate is a crime on social media. But let me tell you something. Hate is not a crime in the United States of America. But people, they get so confused that if they see someone hating, they say, oh, this guy should be arrested. This guy should be thrown in jail. This guy, the cops should come after this individual. They should investigate this individual. And the reason why so many people think that is because social media has programmed them and brainwashed them and wore them down to the point where they literally think that's the law. In fact, I guarantee most people, even in this room, have no idea what the city ordinances are in this city. They have no idea what the Texas Penal Code actually says. And so the only parameters, the only boundaries that have even been established and conformed in your mind are the ones that society just accepts online. And so you don't even realize that online is a completely different world than the physical reality you live in. And even Christians get this way, where Christians start self-censoring, because online you'll get shut down. You can't talk about certain topics. You can't talk about certain things. It's hush-hush. You shouldn't be able to say that. And so you end up acting like that's how society is. You start getting programmed into becoming communist in your life because online is communist. And you say, what's communist? Where their opinion is the only opinion that's allowed. And social media is communist. And it's an easy way to make America communist by its culture so that when they start changing the laws, they have no problem with them all. And that's why sometimes we have to renew our minds, as Romans chapter number 12 says, and realize that there's a physical reality that we live in apart from social media. And I'm not saying that if you use social media, you're wicked or you're evil or whatever, but I am saying this. I guarantee you've been influenced by it whether you like it or not. It's warped your mind a little bit. It's caused you to think differently about the reality and the society you live in. It's caused you to not want to talk about certain topics more than you would have. There's going to be an influence that's happening. And we have to constantly remind ourselves what the Bible says so that we have the right approach to life. We have the right mentality. And we don't just let this 1984 social media system just tell us how to behave. Because I'm not interested in changing my behavior based on social media's ever-changing policies. I want to be steadfast. I want to be the exact same. Jesus Christ's name yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ isn't changing his dialogue. He isn't changing his speech. He isn't changing his behavior because social media told him to. And you know what? Mark Zuckerberg is not in charge of America. I mean, Susan Zawinski, or whatever her name, I can't even say her name. Susan, whatever you want to call her, from YouTube, what is it? Someone help me. What is it? Wachowski or Wachinski? I don't know what it is. Something Jewish or something. Or Eastern European. This chick who's in charge of YouTube, she doesn't control America legally, but she might in reality. You know, and a lot of these social media companies are telling you what to think and you don't even realize it. That's how brainwashing works. You know, no one is brainwashed and they realize it. That's the whole point of brainwashing. That's the whole point of mind control, is they start conforming you to a particular opinion and you have no idea to know, you have no idea to know. And this is how cults operate. And really, social media is a cult. It's a cult of personality. It's a cult of following the world, and the world wants to tell you what to think and how to act. And some people would blame our church for being a cult, but here's why it's never going to be a cult and never is a cult, is because this is our renewal. We can always look at this and say, okay, is what the preaching lining up with this? And you say, well, I don't want anyone to tell me what to think. That's the government telling you what to think. That's the devil telling you what to think. You will think like someone wants you to think, period. I know we all like to talk about individualism and think that we're our own special, unique person, and I have my own original thoughts. You don't have any original thoughts. Either you will have the thoughts that God wants you to have, and he already had them, or you'll have the thoughts that the devil wanted you to have, and he had them before you ever existed. You will not come up with new things. There is no new thing under the sun. All the thoughts, all the behaviors, all the attitudes, all the things that ever happened, they've all happened before, and they're all going to happen again. We're all just cogs in the system, and you have to choose who you're going to trust. Are you going to trust yourself, which is ultimately letting the devil influence you, or are you going to trust what the Bible says and what God said and just lean on his understanding and on his wisdom? Okay. And really, the person that has a critical thought, the person that has a real brain in their head will say, wow, this guy's smarter than me. I'll listen to him. Hey, this is a trustworthy source of information. I'll learn from him. Look, everything you know came from other people. Stop being so prideful. Some of you in here are thinking like, no, I'm smarter than people. Look, you learning how to talk came from your parents and those around you. You wouldn't have any language skills if it wasn't for other humans. They like to think that cavemen back millions of years ago were like, ooga booga, you know, and then they turned into the English language. That didn't happen. And anybody that's even tried to study a foreign language realizes how hard it truly is to learn a foreign language. You have to realize, even just having one language, so many people helped you get that language. And some of you'll need more help, okay, on your reading and writing skills. All the information you have came from your parents, came from the school, came from society, came from the Bible, came from some kind of a text that you read, information that you heard. You know, when people come, oh, I had this really new thought. It's like, oh, okay, here's a book that said the exact same thing 50 years before you were even born. Why? Because you're not going to come up with all this great, wonderful new information, new philosophy. You know, the same arguments to defeat atheism existed in the first century AD and the second century AD and the third. I mean, they existed before Jesus Christ, when you had the great philosophers and you had these great think tanks. You know, all of the arguments of, is God exist? And, you know, does God not exist? All this, that's already been thought of. It's all the same old arguments, tired arguments, just repackaged, renamed, apologetics. You know, I'm not apologizing for believing the Bible. It doesn't need my apology. God doesn't need anyone to apologize for him. And at the end of the day, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I'm going to convince somebody of something in the Bible, it's going to come from the Bible, period. And we need to stop allowing our society and our culture to bully, intimidate, and brainwash you into thinking like them. We need to renew our minds and say, you know what? I am going to believe the Bible regardless of what this world tries to get me to think. Now, that perpetual war is on hate. And this is my main point, so don't think, I'm not covering all the topics I brought up this morning, okay? I'm mainly covering this one topic, so don't get too nervous, all right? But go, if you would, to Romans chapter number 5. And here's, as I find it, probably the one doctrine that if I could just get a whole bunch of liberal Christians to just sit down and explain to them, it'd probably be this right now. It's the fact that loving the sinner and hating the sin is not a Christian doctrine. That came from Gandhi. Like, I'm just bewildered by the fact that there's all these Christians that bring up this phrase that's not even found in the Bible. Like, I understand that some people actually bring up Bible verses and just kind of have a bad application or context with it, but it's like, that's not even a Bible verse. There is zero Bible verse that says that. Now, this concept, I will say there is a kernel of truth to it, because, of course, anything and everything used to attack Christianity is going to have a kernel of truth to it. Okay, what is the kernel of truth to it? Well, look at Romans 5, verse 8. This is the verse that I thought of, and I'm trying to, like, defend their doctrine. Okay, if I was going to defend their doctrine, this is where I would go. Romans 5, 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, doesn't that say that God loves sinners? But we'd still believe that God hates sin. I don't think anybody's arguing that God hates sin. It's really the question of, like, okay, so do we love the sinner, we hate the sin, and, you know, how does that work? Well, here's the thing. How did God love sinners? By sending his son to die. The gospel, the fact that Jesus took that sin, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. That's how he loved them. Did Jesus Christ love them by going to the bar with them? Did Jesus love the sinner by going and sinning with them? Or by tolerating their sin? Or accepting their sin? Or praising their sin? Or walking up and down the pride parade? Are you kidding me? Christians say this junk. I see these posts. There was somebody sent me this post, and it's like Jesus, but it's not. It's some long-haired freak with a dress on. And it's supposed to be Jesus, which is blasphemous. And he's like bound down, he's like bowing down and like washing the feet of all these people. And it's like a sodomite, Biden, Trump. And I'm like, he's not washing any of those people's feet unless they were the Judas to betray him. Okay. But no, Jesus isn't going to get down and wash the feet of some filthy, disgusting homo. That's a stupid doctrine. You know how Jesus loved that person? By dying on the cross. Not by going and washing their AIDS-filled feet, okay? That is not what the Bible teaches. That's disgusting and it's filthy. Okay, nobody wants to touch that disease. But obviously, we too are supposed to follow in his footsteps by loving sinners. Now, how also did Jesus love sinners? Well, he preached them the gospel. Jesus came, he preached the gospel, and he died on the cross. I can't die on the cross for anybody. And if I did, it wouldn't benefit you anything. So what I can do this, I can preach the gospel. And you know how we love sinners? Is we go out and preach the gospel. And it's so funny to me, all these loving Christians, all these Christians that love so much more than us, they never preach the gospel to a single person and then lecture us on how much more loving they are. They love their fellow neighbor to hell. They love the whole community going to hell. You know, it's funny. Oh, Watauga was such a peaceful place filled with unity before Steadfast showed up. Yeah, because y'all are unified about people going to hell. And a church that shows up and actually believes the gospel and preaches the gospel and is going to actually fight the devil a little bit, it's like, oh man, that's causing division. Well, yeah, Jesus came to bring division, my friend. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth, but rather a sword. Yeah, Jesus is bringing division. Because you know what? I am not going to sit here and join hands with other Christians while the whole world goes to hell. I'm not going to go and hide and try to love predators while everybody just dies and goes to hell. No, that's not okay with me. I'm going to, if everyone has to hate me and one person gets saved, then praise the Lord. Because I'm not having a popularity contest, and I'm not doing good, even if I was, okay? Goodwood to Jude chapter number one, Jude chapter number one. You know what? Praise God that I, you know, grew up not ever caring about popularity contests, because I was never very liked. I pretty much was always an outcast. Nobody really liked. I was always made fun of and attacked, just my whole, I mean, it's just my life, you know? It's just how the world works. And that's okay with me. I'm fine with that. I don't have to be your buddy. I don't have to be your pal. That's not my goal in life. If my goal in life was to be people's pals and to be people's friends, I would be way different. And it's not like I don't know how to be nice. It's not like I couldn't figure out how to be funny or try to be charming or to just act like everything's okay and be fake or whatever. Because I worked for Wells Fargo, okay? And I do know what it's like to be fake and pretend like everybody's a great person. Be Absalom and you're right, your matters are good and right, you know, and just kiss everybody on the cheek and tell them how wonderful they are. I can do that charade. But you know what? I left that job because I hate that charade. I hate being fake. I don't like being fake. I like being real. And you know, on social media, it's a bunch of fake, isn't it? How many people are being real on social media? The real self. The real you. The real pictures of you. You know, if we saw the real pictures of you, you'd be like, ah! You know, you got to put all those filters on, you know? And they put out their best stuff. They don't say the worst things. And you know, I also know this. Most people, unless you're, a filthy reprobate, you don't put your sins out either. You put your best stuff. Like, we won today, or we did this great trip. It's not like, we had another fight. Now, there was a couple that would air their fights on social media. I don't recommend that, okay, for this church. Those people are bizarre, anyways. And I'm not saying that you should do this. Obviously, you want to put your best foot forward. What I'm telling you is social media is not real. If you think, oh, man, look at this couple. They're so happy. I mean, every time I see a picture of them on social media, they're smiling and happy. You don't realize that they probably fought 50 times before they took that picture. They might have been in a fight while they took the picture. Because sometimes you're mad at each other, but it's like, this is a really good optic, okay? So you're like, and then you go back and you're like, you know, it's just, that's the real life. That's the real marriage. And people live in this stupid bubble of social media where they just think that everything goes the way that they want it or how social media presents it. But I'm telling you, you know what? Hate is a real emotion. It's a legitimate emotion, even though not all hate is good. And I'm not saying that hate in itself is good. But there's a time to hate, time to love, and there's a time to hate. No, the time to love is go preach the gospel. The time to hate is the person that's stopping you from preaching the gospel, that's attacking the gospel, that hates the gospel. That's the time when you would switch and you would hate. And look, Jude, chapter number 1, makes it abundantly clear that not everybody's on our team. You know, they want to make this, you know, a lot of Christians want to have this idea that everybody's on our team in a sense. Like either they're on our team or we're supposed to win them over. Well, then that makes no enemy. Who is the enemy then? I'd love to ask these Christians that say everyone's welcome at church. Is there any enemies? Is there enemies in the New Testament? Is there any infiltrators? I mean, is there any bad people that exist? And usually the only people they could probably point to is me. You know, like I'd be the bad person or whatever, right? Like, give me a break. But look what Jude chapter 1 says. It says in verse number 4, for there were certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does that sound like someone that's saved? We're going to get saved? I mean, like, can we not just identify, hey, there's at least a group that exists that's not going to get saved. I'm just trying to tell you who they are. You're pretending like they don't exist. That's what a lot of Christians are doing. Because it doesn't seem like it would be hard logistically if you can convince somebody, hey, there's a group of people, they hate God, they don't want to believe in him, they're wicked, they're ordained to go to hell, and they're still alive today. We shouldn't love those people. The problem is they just don't think that a group exists. It's like, let's first realize the group exists. And then we'll start working on the identification process. You know, because of the fact that there's this perpetual war on hate, they have negated this entire group of people. These people don't even exist to them. It's just absent from reality. But look what it says in verse number 7 now. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, if I said, hey, someone's in a place called eternal fire, what would you call that? Hell. So this is a group of people that are set forth an example of people that are going to go where? Hell. So Sodom is an example of people going to hell, and it's equivalent to the people that deny God and are never going to believe in him. Let's just connect the dots. There's a group of people that hate God, they're Sodomites, and they're going to hell. Wow, that was a really hard doctrine, wasn't it? Well, that's Old Testament. This is New Testament quoting the Old Testament and bringing up a really relevant story. So you know what I do? I don't like those people. I fight against those people. I earnestly contend for the faith, also quoted in Jude chapter number 1. Go over to Psalms chapter number 5. Psalms chapter number 5. Now, I want to blow through a lot of verses real quick. And, you know, if you have family members, if you have friends, if you have neighbors that are goofed up on this, that don't understand this, I find the best thing you can do is just pop open your Bible and start showing them some of these verses. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And here's my one message. This is my one application. This is the one truth I want you to walk away from the sermon. Start showing people the Bible in real life. Start showing people the Bible in real life. Stop using social media as your contact. Because social media is going to constantly warp, delete, censor, and remove everything. And it's not the same level of interaction as a person one-on-one. You need to start opening up your Bible and showing people what the Bible actually says. We will never get anywhere with people when we don't show them what the Word says. You know, we get people saved by opening up our Bible and showing them what the Bible says. And let me tell you something. That's how we fix false doctrine too. And we need people to start opening up their Bibles and reading them. You know, I have had a lot of bad ideas in my life. I believe a lot of stupid things. And you know what fixed it for me? This. This is the only thing that'll fix it. And I think that sometimes we're afraid and we try to say, like, go watch this sermon. Nothing wrong with sending a link. There's nothing wrong with sending a sermon. If you know how you fix things, just open up your Bible and show them stuff in the Bible. Even if it's just one verse. Just shatter their worldview. Hey, there's a time to hate. Tell me what that verse means. Actually, let me tell you. Let me go to Psalms 5, chapter 5, verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Well, God loves everyone. What does this verse mean? How about the next one? Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. That sounds like God hates people, since he said he hates people. You know, I'm not a rocket scientist here. I didn't go to seminary. I don't have some big Bible college degree up here. I can't quote for you the Hebrew word, but I do speak English, and it says he hates. Well, that's one verse. Okay, let's go to a few more. Go to chapter 10 and look at verse number 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blessed the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Sounds like God hates those people. Go to Psalms 26. Psalms 26 for a moment. And again, I think a lot of you in this room, you don't need me to prove this doctrine to you. What I'm doing is I'm reminding you of all these verses so that you can show other people. This would be a good tool for you to say, hey, let's just take a little stroll through Psalms. These are songs that you're supposed to sing in church. You know, we sing psalms in our church. Psalm 26, look at verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Notice what he's saying. Thy loving kindness. So he's observing God's love. He's saying it's before my eyes, and I'm walking in your truth. I'm walking in your love. I'm walking in your loving kindness. I'm walking in your truth. Verse 4, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Well, God hates, but we shouldn't. Wait a minute. Let's read that again. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. Well, I don't hate anyone. Well, then you're not in God's loving kindness. Then you're not walking in God's truth. Because the Bible says that being in God's loving kindness and walking in God's truth equals hating the congregation of evildoers and not sitting with the wicked. I will not and will not sit with the wicked. How could a Christian go and support the congregation of evildoers? Go and stand with people that have signs that say God is a freak, or signs that blaspheme Jesus, or have cuss words that just are blaspheming everything about the Bible and God's people. How could you go and join up with that group and virtue signal with that group and say you stand with that group even just metaphorically? You just don't even believe the Bible. And you're not walking in God's truth. Look, of course, we have to connect a few dots here. They say, well, who is that? Well, let me show you Jude chapter 1. Let me show you Romans chapter 1. Let me show you Genesis chapter 19. Let me show you a lot of verses. But let's just establish one fact. There is a group of people that you're not supposed to be hanging out with. And in fact, notice the language didn't say just don't hang out with them. It said he hated them. Because there's a time to hate. And it makes no sense if you love God to love his enemies. That's bizarre. That's an oxymoron. God doesn't love his enemies. You know, what if you said, you know what, God? Hey, I just want to let you know, I actually love all the people in hell that you hate. That's blasphemous. That's foolishness. You know, I wouldn't send the devil to hell. What? I wouldn't send Adolf Hitler to hell. You know, and it's funny, you know, all these people are super hypocrites anyways, because they claim that they love everybody. Just be like, oh, so you love Hitler. I'll get you a shirt. You love cops, don't you? I mean, I love everyone. I love Antifa and cops and Biden and Adolf Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong and Pastor Shelley and Pastor Andrew. I just love everybody. You know, that person loves no one. And the person that says I respect everyone respects no one. I mean, imagine this, to say I respect everyone equally. You'd think like, okay, so the guy that's coming to church 3 times a week and reading the Bible and going soul winning versus the guy that's like drunk and committing adultery, you have the same level of respect for that person? No, I don't, because I'm not an idiot, okay? If you say you respect everybody equally, you're basically saying I respect no one. You know, when you say everything and everyone, you basically just negate everything that you just said, and you make words meaningless. If you respect everyone equally, the word respect is meaningless. It has no meaning. It has no value, because it doesn't apply to anything. Respect is saying somebody's worthy of respect. They've done good. They have integrity. They have character. And you're recognizing and identifying that person having a level of character, integrity above that which is normal. Respect. These words have meaning. And why would I sit here and love people hating God? I shouldn't. Well, I love everyone. No, you don't. You're a liar. Look what he says in verse number 6. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. How can you be innocent and hate? Because it's biblical. that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Let me tell you something. If you love church, you hate the congregation of evildoers. If you love the congregation of evildoers, you hate church. Because notice, he says, I have loved the habitation of thy house. You know, if you really love church, you don't want the sideshow freaks to come in. You don't want the bearded lady to come in. You know, and that's not even science. You know, women just can't grow beards. They could get a little bit of facial hair, and it's typically through drugs or hormones, weird things that are going on. But they really can't just grow like a normal man's beard or anything like that. It's just not possible, okay? And I remember I went to the National History Museum, NDC. This is where you're, science and learning. This is where we're supposed to get, you know, all the great facts of history and knowledge and learn, right? They have an entire exhibit dedicated to bearded ladies. And I'm thinking, like, ladies can't even have a beard. And you just see all these women with beards on the wall. And I'm thinking, like, are these all trannies or something? And then I walk up and I look and I'm like, no, they're all women. And they were all wearing a fake beard. They just all, like, took, like, a fake beard, put it on, and they took a picture, and they took it to a science museum, a museum of science, and we're talking about bearded ladies. And it was just like, it was basically just, they were like saying, women can't have a beard, but this is just to show all the progress that we've made in women's rights. Like, what does it have to do with science? What does it have to do with knowledge? I mean, we just put on a beard. I mean, that is the world that we live in, where they're just trying to force all this weird nonsense under your brain and just propaganda, okay? Oh, you can't hate. Well, you think women can have beards and get pregnant. Like, I'm not going to, you know, agree with that. Go to Psalms 31 for a second, verse 6. 31 verse 6. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I mean, how many verses would you have to see to believe the doctrine? Go to Psalm 139. I haven't even gotten some of the better ones. Here's a great one. In fact, I like, you warm them up to this, and then you just sing them this one, you know. Psalm 139, look what it says in verse number 21. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. You know, people say, the Bible never says to hate anyone. Well, you've never read the Bible. It says it a lot. I mean, it's kind of dumbfounding how people can claim this. Go to Romans chapter 9. Yeah, but the New Testament, God doesn't hate anyone, or, you know, there's the word hate's not found or something bizarre. I don't know what weird straw men they bring up. Most of the time, people haven't even gotten this deep in the conversation. I think they would have already shut it down. And typically, this is what they say. Well, my God doesn't hate. Well, is your God the Bible? I mean, is your God in the Bible or what? Because my God is the Lord Jesus Christ, which is this. Right here. This is God. Welcome to God. And he'll tell you what he thinks. He hates people. Okay. Well, what about the New Testament? Okay, Romans chapter 9. It says in verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, you know, it's funny to me. There is a group of Christianity, and it's kind of a fake group because most of them are fake. They don't have a problem with the hate doctrine. They have a different doctrine that's a problem, called the Calvinist, okay? And you know why the Calvinist doesn't have a hate problem? Because Romans 9 is like their favorite chapter in the entire Bible, okay? So they have to, they know that hate exists in the Bible, okay? They have no problem with the hate. So like when you bring up hate and like hating wicked, evil people, like Calvinists are usually our friend. In fact, most Presbyterians and Calvinists, they agree with us on Leviticus 20:13. Even though they don't believe John 3:16, okay? Whereas independent fundamental Baptists, they'll agree with us on John 3:16, but then they forget Leviticus 20:13. And it's like, why can't we have both? Why can't we believe both today? And Romans 9, hey, here's God saying, I hate Esau. Now, I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of what that means, but how do you ignore that verse? Go to 1 John chapter number 3 for a second. Go to the end of your Bible, 1 John chapter number 3. There's so much Bible on this particular topic. And you have to realize that hatred is a facet of life. And of course, I probably don't have to convince you, but these people outside, they don't love me. I don't know how much I have to convince you. But if you think that they love me, then you have no hope, okay? You're really blind. They hate me with perfect hatred, and that means complete hatred. Yet they virtue signal about how loving they are. They virtue signal everybody they love. And here's the thing. Not only do they hate us, a lot of people hate us. A lot of people. It's called the world. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Here's something that people get frustrated by, I think. He's like, well, I don't want to go to the church where everybody hates them. But wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say, like, marvel not? Like, don't be surprised if people actually hate you. You know, it's kind of surprising. What would be surprising is if everyone loved us. It'd be surprising because you'd be like, hey, you realize, like, I preach really hard against your church and your pastor and your beliefs and your lifestyle. And I love it. It's like, people don't love that. People get mad about that. You know, a really good church is going to just be hated of the world. You know, if you think, I want to go to the church where they have 1,000 five-star, you know, no one-star reviews, there's no way that church is believing the Bible. It's just not possible. Yea, and all that will of godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, what guy in the Bible, what guy do we love in the Bible that the world loved ever? Oh, Egypt loved Moses. Cain loved Abel with rocks. I mean, they loved Jesus. They loved Peter. They never loved any of the men of God, ever. Now, you know how they get around this fact, though? Historical negationism. Historical negationism. And it's really interesting. Go to Luke. Did I have you go to Proverbs? Okay, go to Luke, chapter 11. I'm just going to read a verse for you. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse 10. The bloodthirsty hate the upright. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. So these people, they hate us so hard. But it's funny because with Jesus, he's trying to bring up history. And of course, those that are smart will study history and learn history because it's very, very valuable. But look at Luke chapter 11, verse 48. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchers. So he's saying, all the people that were like you in the past, you're kind of like your spiritual fathers, they killed every man of God. And then you guys end up building the sepulcher of these people that they killed. Meaning it's like, you glorify all the people that you hate. Because they have that historical negationism, where it doesn't even make any sense that they glorify these people that they actually hate. Go to John chapter number 5. Go to John chapter number 5. And John chapter number 5, look at verse 45. The Bible says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. He's saying, the one person y'all really look to, the one person you think's like on your team, is the person that's going to end up accusing you to the Lord, and you're going to end up be found wanting. So it's funny how their view of Moses, their historical viewpoint of Moses, is that he's on their team, when actually it's the exact opposite. And if you look at this, it says in the next verse, for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So he's saying, like, look, if you guys actually followed Moses, you would be on my team. And you know, it's funny. The Catholics and the Episcopalians and the Lutherans, they venerate all kinds of people from the past, like John Chrysostom. And it's like, if you had believed John Chrysostom, you would have believed the Sodomite deception. Yeah. Right. Like, it's funny how they lift these people up. That, you know, you have an entire denomination after Martin Luther. Let's see what he said about Jews and homos. It's like, if you had believed Luther, you would have believed me. And even his doctrines. I mean, you look at what he wrote, it's like sola scriptura. It's like we only get information from the Bible. And sola fide, meaning it's only faith that saves you. It's like you'd be an independent fundamental Baptist if you even believed this guy. His writings, at least. It's like they venerate these people, but they don't even believe anything about them. And they have no idea what history is actually like. They have no idea what people actually believed in the past. People today, they're just, everything's been negated to them because they go to the public fool system. And let me tell you something about the public fool system. They rewrite the history books every year for two reasons. What's the most important reason? Money, okay? Because they'll take a couple $100 textbook and they'll modify a handful of places and then you have to rebuy it. Well, who rebuys it? Well, yeah, I'm gonna go layered quicker. The school does, which is taxpayer funded, so you do. You literally rewrite history every single year with your tax dollars, with our tax dollars. It'll be like virtually the same book, but you know, the parts that they erase are whatever's not socially acceptable that year. It's like whatever changed to not be that socially acceptable, well, let's just take those few sections out and then just give you a new one. And it's just getting so whitewashed every single year that it's now getting to the point where people have no idea what real history is like. I mean, when they think about slavery or some of these type of issues, they have such a warped viewpoint on actual history and what really happened and what our country was even founded on. They'll say, oh man, every one of our founding fathers was an atheist. And you're like, what are you even talking about? It's like that level of ignorance, that level of stupidity about our country's history is what's causing the world that we live in today. Because people say, oh, the framers of our Constitution, the framers of our government, they didn't want a theocracy. Oh, that's funny, since in the founding documents it says that we're endowed by our Creator. You know what theo is? It's in relation to God. It's theology. It's the study of God. And if you're saying, hey, we get every one of our rights from God, and then you say it's not a theocracy, you're just an idiot. Because they're putting God at the top of the food chain, saying, hey, we're getting all of our rights, and all of the things that we're about to say are coming from our Creator, which is God. Now, we could argue which God that is for a second, but we can't say it's not a God that they're looking to. And in fact, look at our money, and God we trust. Look at our national flag. They pledge allegiance to the flag. One nation under what? God. I mean, you look at the Texas flag. It's a state under God. I mean, they constantly give lip service to a God. My question is, which one? And of course, our nation was then founded on the King James Bible for our laws. The laws are coming straight from this book, but of course, we have to forget that. So they're trying to undermine and destroy and whitewash all of our history. And you know what? Social media, with its misinformation, fact checkers, is going to warp your mind on true history. If you just live on social media, you'll see there's a perpetual war on hate. Hate's wrong, hate's wrong, hate's wrong, hate's wrong. History will completely be changed, and you'll then get propaganda on top of that of all their agenda. Plus, you have the omnipresent government surveillance because Facebook's always monitoring you. I mean, why do you think you have all these ads about things you just talked about? And even if it's not that, you know, just going to, if you go to any website, any like big name website, they put a cookie, they put a tracker on you, and then whenever you go back to any other main site, it says, hey, they visited this site, they visited Kohl's, here's all the Kohl's ads. They went and they looked up this, beach towel, now you're going to beach towels. They went and looked at, you know, this sport, it doesn't matter what the sport, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, you watch one video on YouTube about a sport, Facebook's going to be littered with that sport. I mean, and they just keep a huge track record on you. Target knows all your purchasing decisions, knows everything about you. You go to a casino, they'll know how much money you make. And then they'll put a goal of how much money they want to extract from you for your lifetime. Like you go to the casino and you spend a little money, they'll say, we think we can get $750,000 out of this person in their lifetime. And then based on the information, then they'll send you targeted ads like saying like, hey, here's 2 free weeks to Vegas. I mean, it's just a continual just push to get all of your money and extract everything from you, and they're just whitewashing you and just brainwashing you, and you get into this mindset where you don't even see reality for what it is. You just see it through the lens of whatever social media and your phone wants you to see, the messages that it wants you to see. I mean, you're not going to see hateful messages because they get censored. You know, going and just talking to people, you know, if social media wasn't filtered, you know what you'd see on social media like every 5 seconds? Man, I really hate all this disgusting rainbow junk. Man, I really hate all these flags everywhere. Man, I really hate all these fags everywhere. You'd see that everywhere. Everybody be saying it. That's why I have to censor it so hard and shut it down so hard so that they don't let everybody realize how much everyone hates it and despises it. Because hate's not allowed. And hate's not biblical. And here's some United Methodist dyke to explain to you why the Bible doesn't teach about hate. A woman that's not even allowed to be a pastor. I mean, how many verses do those people even believe anymore? I don't even think any. Look at John chapter number 8. I've been explaining to you how they don't believe their history. John chapter number 8, look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? That's the kind of history that they have. I mean, have you ever read the Bible? We've never been in bondage to anyone. What about the 430 years in Egypt? Did that happen? You know, it's like, oh, white people just enslaved everyone, you know, and white people are so bad. It's like, what about how the first slave was like a white guy? Like, ooh, what? Yeah. How about the fact that it was like black people owning black people? Here's a question. Where did we get the slaves from? Did we get them from Africa where black people were owning other black people and then we brought them over? It's like, oh, but that's ignored. You know, don't believe any of that. And look, I'm not trying to justify slavery. Slavery is wicked as hell. But what I am telling you is this. People get such an idiotic view of history, they start saying things like this. Oh, we've never been in bondage to anyone. America was never a Christian nation. Our founding fathers didn't even believe the Bible. It's like, what planet do you live on? Oh, Facebook. That's the planet that you live on. You live on a social media island, and you've been so brainwashed you don't even know what's up and down anymore. Now, that's the main topic that I want to bring up for my sermon. I do want to address a couple other things, though, because they have some interesting things that go on in 1984. Like Big Brother is watching you. Let me tell you something. That is happening today. They are watching. In fact, you even have the police department making public service announcements talking about Steadfast Baptist Church saying, hey, we're going to be monitoring the situation. You know, whatever Pastor Shelley preaches, let's just monitor it. I hope you're listening. Hey, hi. That sounds like freedom, doesn't it? Big Brother's always watching. And you know, in the film, they have all these one-way windows and mirrors and stuff. So like any television screen or window or whatever, they're looking at you when you don't know it. And it's like, they're looking at you when you don't know it. All the time. There's so many cameras and listening devices, and you say, well, but it turns green when they're listening. It turns green when you know that you're listening. That doesn't even count. Look, anytime you make a call, anytime you send a text message, that data has to live somewhere. And let me tell you something. People have access to that data. Now, of course, it's encrypted, okay? But even then, you know, you can get the encryption keys. These things, look, everything you do online, you should just believe everyone knows about it. And, you know, you behave differently when you feel like everyone's watching. You should. You should behave differently. And you should be careful of what you're putting out there. And they're constantly monitoring, and social media is constantly monitoring you. Now, here's the thing. When you don't have your phone, and you just open your Bible, and you're talking to someone, social media doesn't know what's going on. They can't monitor that. Hey, they can't monitor all the soul winning. Now, of course, they do a little bit because they're still tracking you. They know where you're standing and they know where you're doing. It's pretty accurate. It's within like 2 feet or something of where you're standing. I'm not saying just throw your phone in the trash, but I am saying this. You got to be careful. But here's the thing. We need to get out of this world and get in the real world and not let this world tell us what to think. You know, they have this thing in the book called doublethink. This is weird, okay? Doublethink is where you have two contradictory ideas and you say that they are congruent. So their example in the book is like war is peace. War is peace. That's, you know, I hear this all the time in our society. Silence is violence. Who's heard that one? I mean, they say this thing all the time, don't they? Or I get this. How dare you hate anyone? I hate you. I got a voicemail. This guy says, I can't believe you would ever call for the execution of any person. I think that you and Dylan should be hung. And here's the thing. You can kind of tell which ones are just the like pure like trolls. This guy's like a serious person. Because the trolls, it's like an F word every other word, and they all sound like this. You know, this guy sounds like a normal person, and he's just like, I've studied the Bible, I've been a Christian. I can't believe that any Christian would call for the death or the execution of a single person. You and Dylan should be hung. What? I'm just like, how's that? You know, or it's like, how you're such an evil person. How dare you judge anyone? It's like, you're such a judgmental person. You shouldn't judge anyone. You're just like, what? It's like they don't even understand the doublethink that exists in our society. Or they even have in the book, thought crimes. And this is how they actually police thought crimes, like facial expressions. So you grimace, you know, they don't like that. You know, this exists in Baptist churches today. John Getch of West Coast Baptist College said that you're not allowed to have a vile attitude toward those living in this sin. Meaning a tranny, if it came in and sat right next to you and your family in church, you're not even allowed to grimace. That's a thought crime. Thought crimes coming from John Getch. Why is he so sensitive to just the thought crimes? Sounds like he's a faggot himself and doesn't want people to look down on him. Right. It sounds like to me. And they even have it in their policies and procedures, like the staff is not allowed to look down upon or have any kind of negative emotion towards anybody coming in their church. Just thinking like, what in the world? Thought crimes. And I'm just like, when it's a natural reaction. I mean, that's bizarre. They have another thing called Newspeak. Now, they have all these linguistic... Notice that they're really trying to attack one thing, language, aren't they? You know why there's all these attacks on language? Because the people get saved by the word of God. Because it's all about words. Always a fight about words. Newspeak, it's where they change how you define terms or words. And a lot of times they bring them down into acronyms or they make them in more simplified terms. Now, it's really hard to understand Newspeak from a definition perspective. It's kind of more understood through examples, I believe. So I'll give you some of the examples of how they do this. But instead of using words like warm or hot, you can't use those words. So you have to use the word un to the opposite word. So instead of it being not, it's not cold, it's uncold. It's not hot. It's not the red hot preaching conference. It's the red uncold conference. You know, it can't be warm, it's uncold. And they do this with all kinds of words in the book and in the thing. So here's one that made me funny. It's really funny. When they kill someone, they call it an un-person. So that you are un-personed. And man, have I heard this? You have heard these fags that say, they want to make us unalive. It's like they don't even know what they're doing. Because, you know, we'll say like, hey, the Bible says to put them to death. And they're like, they said they want us unalive. It's like, no, I said put to death. They're trying to use this Newspeak. They're trying to change the language and the vocabulary, and that's where cuss words come from. Cuss words are coming from this Newspeak, and you know what? I refuse it. Fag, fag, faggot. Okay? Faggoty. Ooh, I'm so offended. Well, yeah, because you live in Newspeak world, where social media has been programming you to think that it's bad. Now you have to say what? LGBTQ+. Newspeak. You know, why do they use this as an acronym? Because what if they said lesbian, gay, bisexual, transvestite, queer, and every other abominable thing? That doesn't sound real cool. LGBTQ. You know, they just have to make it sound like it's this cool little thing like FBI or something, you know, or CIA or LGBT or whatever. It's like, it's cool, it's hip, it's letters. You know, it should be the AIDS community, really, if you're going to use acronyms, or the FAG community. But here's the thing. They want to tone down the language. And it's on purpose because you have a less visceral reaction. Look, when I say faggot, some people's hair on the back of their neck stands up. Some people get, they're like, oh, he yelled that. Is he allowed to yell that? Not on social media. But guess what? I can do it all I want here. Fag, fag, faggot. You say, hey, is this sermon going to live on YouTube? Probably not. But you know, I'm not preaching to you two. I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching to 1984 social media. You need to get unbrainwashed today. It's like, oh, well, we don't like that word faggot, homosexual. And guess what? Then they started not liking that word. I mean, I argue with Christians. I say, what word am I allowed to use? And they're like, well, fag's offensive. And I'm like, okay, well, homo is offensive to them too. If you look it up in the dictionary, it says slur, homo. Am I allowed to use homo? Like, I can use sodomite, but here's the problem with sodomite. It's like, it kind of just goes over everybody's head a lot of times. Like, people don't even know what you're talking about, and even Christians don't. Because they start using words weird, and they don't quite understand how to use these words, and it's like, but no one gets confused on faggot. It just cuts right to the chase. Okay? And it used to be, I know this is crazy for some of you, especially the younger people. When we were in high school, everyone used the word fag. And when I say everyone, it was on television. Main Hollywood celebrities were using the word fag regularly on television. Every football coach is saying, smear the queer. And dude, what are you doing? You're looking like a fag. And you know, there was never a sexual harassment lawsuit. Nobody got their feelings hurt because nobody was a faggot back then, basically. Or at least they wouldn't tell anybody. And they weren't on the football team for sure. What changed? Social media changed. And social media is speeding these things up because it's programming every single person to think these words are bad or wrong. You can't use bastard. You can't use hell. You can't use death penalty. I mean, unalive. I'm not going to use that stupid thing unless I'm mocking you or making fun of you. In fact, if something's good in Newspeak, it's plus good. If it's not good, it's plus ungood. That's how weird it is. But, you know, there's all these words that we have in our world today. How about, I was thinking about these Newspeak words we have today, woke. But nobody knows what that means. Because, you know, the liberals use woke against us and we use it against them. And it's just like this arbitrary word that what does it even mean? Based. This is our news speak. But what does that even mean? Like, people use this in all kinds of different manners. And look, I'm not saying I'm ignorant here. I know how people use the word. But what I'm telling you is it's weird. Why are we using these type of terms? You know, why don't we use terms like, that's true. This guy's bold. This guy has courage, based, you know, or Chad. He's a Chad. It's like, why? Why do we have to use phrases like this? You know, let's go Brandon. Why don't we just say, fuck Joe Biden? Woo! Let me tell you something. Cuss words is not a real thing. Woo! I can't believe he said that. That's going to be on a video clip. He said, I don't like that. Hey, you don't have to like it. I'm trying to drag you to the other side of the equation, my friend. And if you don't like it, you can go find any other church, and they'll never say any of these words. Oh, well, I can't believe my child had to hear that. He heard it, and he's going to hear it from other people, and you have to teach him not to say certain words. Because I heard somebody say, do you really want people to talk like Pastor Shelley and call everybody a dung face? And I'm like, no. But you know what? You have to teach your kids how to use words and what words mean. And they're going to hear it from someone. And you have to wake them up to these things. And you can't let social media tell them what to say. And isn't it interesting that word is welcome on social media, but all the other words I'm saying aren't. I mean, can't you use the F word on social media all day long? Hey, and if you get mad at me, you have to get mad at Dylan because he left one in the voicemail too, right? You don't have to agree with everything I say. But what I am trying to explain to you is this. I don't want my vocabulary to be whatever the world tells me it can be. And I believe that these really bad words should just be used in real moderation to prove a point. But I don't believe it's a sin. You can believe whatever you want. How about this word? Simp. Who knows what I'm talking about? Simp. Yeah, but it's like, it's these code words. Or DM. Or this one I really just hate personally, but I don't know. It's bae. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's B-A-E. And it's like before, what is it? It's like before something everyone. I can't remember. It's basically like before anyone else. You're right. There it is. Before anyone else. It's basically like it's a new word for like baby or something, or your hubby or something like that. It's like, it's my bae, you know, before anyone else, you know. And it's like, why are we getting to such a derelict vocabulary? You know, or, you know, because again, here's the thing. Why are people saying, let's go Brandon? Because he can't say it on social media. Because if you could say what I said earlier, everybody would be saying it. But social media has told you, you're not allowed to say that. The world's telling you can't use certain words. The words that you see out here. YTB. I don't even know what that is. I looked it up. I can't remember now. Someone help me. B. Oh, I can't remember. I don't even know. It's silly. We have to live in this world where it's, you know, plus on good. It doesn't make sense. And here's words you can't use on social media. COVID. COVID-19. I mean, you can't use these kind of words. You can't talk about it. So here's the thing, though. You've been so just inundated and just so attacked that you can't use these words like COVID and Bible and fag and sodomite and whatever, that you end up going into this real world and you don't use them. You actually run into your family members, you run into coworkers, you run into all these, and look, you know, be careful with your workplace situation, all right? Don't use, you know, be respectful, obviously. But I'm just saying, like, when the opportunity presents itself, you know, why wouldn't I use the right vocabulary and use the right words? Why do I have to let the news speak tell me what to do and what to think and what to say? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to preach whatever the Bible says, whatever God wants me to say. You know, when you start pulling people out of the matrix, and you know what? I think that the devil wants to destroy our church more than virtually any other church. That's why we're getting all these attacks. And let me tell you why the devil wants to destroy this church is because there's a bunch of special people in this room. It is a special church. There is very few people in this world that could have gone through what we've been going through for the last few years and still be here. Christians today are so spineless. Christians today are so afraid. Christians today don't want any uncomfortability. They won't come to a building if it's hot. They won't come if it's loud. They won't come if they have to actually watch their children. They won't come if the pastor uses vocabulary they don't like. They won't come if they get their sin preached on. They won't come if they constantly get heat for not going soul winning. They won't come if they feel like they're dressed wrong and they get rebuked for that one time. They won't come if they have to go through an army of reprobates or whatever to even park, and they have to hear just the most abominable filth just to even come into the church building. I mean, most people won't even do that kind of stuff. So the fact that we even have a church filled with people today, filled with children today that want to serve God, you know what? It just grinds the devil's gears. And he just wants to send every single one of his minions to destroy this church. But I'm telling you something. You know what? We need to wake up and start pulling people out of this matrix system, out of this 1984 system, and start getting them on our side. And let me tell you where it's probably not going to be coming from: social media. There was a window where social media was kind of a wild, wild west, and it was a lot easier to reach people. But let me tell you something. I've realized that me and most of my church members are shadow banned on all this social media. Meaning that when you post something, only your friends can see it, and you don't realize it. It's really hard to detect because you have to get like a completely separate account from anything associated with you, and then you view. But it's like if you comment on a public thread, you comment on these things, it'll put it up there, and your friends will like it, so you feel like you're interacting with the world, but you're completely shut off to the world, and they hide it to everyone else. I can't do anything on social media apart from my friends. And look, I'm not saying me. I'm saying me, my wife, my employee, and lots of the men that do stuff for our church, all of them too. I mean, nobody can see it. Nobody can interact. And if any of you say, like, well, I'll help, as soon as you start posting our stuff, you'll get turned off too. And so you think you're reaching people, but you're really not. And most of these platforms are just bots and reprobates anyways. I mean, Twitter is just like a reprobate machine. Some of these social media platforms, it's just like that's the only thing that even exists on there. And I guarantee, look, if we go out soul winning with us and we go in these poor areas, none of them have ever even heard of Steadfast Baptist Church. They don't care about Joe Biden. They don't know any of these things. If I said woke and based and Chad and simp and DM and bae, they would think that I was a fag. Because they don't even know. They just go to work and drink beer with their friends. And they have no, they're clueless. They don't know what's going on. They're not awake to anything that's going on in this world today. I mean, there's like the 5% of people like us, and there's like the 5% of the reprobates, and we're just all warring online, and we're distracted from the 90% we should be reaching in real life. And explaining to our friends, explaining to our family. And you know, we start living in this this ideal bubble, or this idea bubble, or this, you know, you have the kind of this circle of friends, and like everything that's happening in your world, you feel like everybody's experiencing. But then you talk to anybody else, and you realize they have no idea, and they don't care at all. It's like, you know, we've gotten so many views online. I mean, millions of views recently. I mean, Dylan has gone, like, I mean, he's on Yahoo News, NBC, just like, you name it. Everyone, so many articles. I mean, I'm going to get Donnie Romero on so far down on the list, you'll never even know he was again, okay? It's just like, man, this church just hates facts. All they know. And I'm giving them new clips today. They're going to make all kinds of new clips. But here's the thing. I guarantee you I'm going to go out there and I'm going to knock on people's door and they're going to have no idea who I am. And even if I mean, there would be like, if I went really close to church, there'd be a few. But it's like, it's just like almost no one. I mean, I went to a really famous church, in my mind, Faith Ward Baptist Church. But let me tell you something, almost nobody knows about it. And when I went soul winning at Faith Ward for 2 years, there was like two doors out of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of doors where they recognized our church at all. Now, they weren't good interactions, but I'm telling you, it's like you live in this online social media world that's trying to influence you to think a certain way, and I'm trying to wake you up and say, hey, no, that is not the world that you live in. Wake up and start pulling people back into the real reality, the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, there's so many people that would love to have the truth knock on the door, and they just don't know it yet. And we start opening our Bibles and start showing people truth instead of relying on social media. We need an army of preachers. You say, what do you think about women preachers? As long as they're not buying my pulpit, I think it's great. I wish all the women in our church would open up their Bible and start showing people things in the Bible. You know, especially their children. Children, number one. Teaching their children the Bible, teaching their sisters the Bible, teaching their aunts and their uncles and their cousins and their brothers, and showing up at soul winning time and teaching this whole society, teaching this whole community. You know, my wife said, she's like, it's funny that you guys, you say it's really unreceptive over here. And she says, we were getting no one saved at the ladies' time in Hearst. And we've gotten people saved like every single time recently. I don't know where they're going, but I was like, praise the Lord. You know, and it's like, oh, that's just one person. Yeah, but it's like one person every week. That's like 50 people a year. I mean, how much is a soul worth? And you never know what's going to happen in that person's life. You never know what that person might become. You never know what that person, you know, that person getting saved might cause them to protect their family from a bunch of predators. You may have saved them from all kinds of evil and all kinds of filth that's out there. And you know what? This world is going to hell in a handbasket. But there are some people that can get saved. And we don't do it for the reprobates. I don't do it for the popularity. I don't get popularity anyways. I hate it. I wish we never had a protest, personally. Some people like it, whatever. I don't like it. I don't even like preaching sermons like this. I would rather just do, like, you know, Bible studies and spiritual things. But, you know, we need to wake up, and we need to use some harsh language. And if you don't like every word I said, that's fine. But you know what? You need to at least start showing people these words. Close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for the Word of God. Thank you for blessing us with this ability to come and hear the Word of God being preached. I pray that you would just allow our hearts and our minds to be renewed with the Bible and stop letting this culture tell us what to do. Stop letting this culture tell us what to think. Stop letting this culture censor us in our own minds. You've given us liberty. You've given us freedom. And when they wanted to stop everybody else from preaching, they wanted to shut everybody else down, they wanted to shut everybody else up, the men of God just opened their mouths boldly and preached the Word of God anyway. And I pray that you would just get courage in these men's hearts. Get boldness and courage in these women's hearts. Let just every babe and suckling in this church just declare the Word of God. Just thunder it forth. It would be just a bright and shining light. And that we would just put to shame all the lies and the deception and the slander and the evil that's out there with the truth of God's Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. With that, let's go ahead and sing one more song before we head home. You'll take out your hymnal there. We're going to be in 121. Like a River Glorious. Again, that's song 121. 121, Like a River Glorious. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry, touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him fully find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Amen. Thank you all for being here. God bless. You are dismissed.